We appreciate the beautiful musical number by the BYU Chamber Orchestra. It is so peaceful to listen to great music. I'd like to say a few words following with my message, and after that there'll be a benediction given by Chrissy Broadbent, BYUSA Executive Vice President. Recessional music will be provided by Douglas E. Bush on the organ and Brian Mathias on the carillon bells. During the recessional, the audience is asked to please remain seated until those on the stand and the graduates file from the building. We encourage family and friends to meet their graduates on the lawn east and south of the Marriott Center in order to reduce the congestion in the concourse. My beloved BYU, Brigham Young University graduates, this is a very important day. It is a commencement, not an ending, a beginning. It is the beginning of a new chapter of your lives. Thank you, parents, family members, companions who sacrificed to make this day possible. Thank you, teachers, staff members, devoted bishops, and fellow students who've provided support. And graduates, on behalf of all of us who love you and have prayed for you and for your success, thank you for multiplying the gifts and talents your Heavenly Father has given you, for enduring to the end and finishing what you began. Today you reap a reward that is much more than a diploma. You came to Brigham Young University to obtain an education in Zion, to learn of things both in heaven and on earth. In doing so, you have made preparations in all things to magnify the calling whereunto the Lord has called you and the mission for which He has commissioned you. What is your mission? The details may be specific to you, but the purpose is universal. You entered this institution to learn. Today has been said, you go forth to serve. On this very special day, I'd like to visit with you about the sacred mission to go forth as disciples of old and serve our Heavenly Father's children in all the world. I first must remind you that there is no service without sacrifice. As always, missionary endeavors begin by breaking the cycle of self. That is a prerequisite. President Hinckley's father said it well when he wrote, "Dear Gordon, I have only one suggestion. Forget yourself and go to work. At school, you have primarily focused on your own learning, your own growth, your own development. Commencing today, you have the opportunity to lift your sights beyond yourself. Some philosophers will tell you this is impossible, that human beings can only be interested in themselves. But true disciples of our Savior know otherwise. He gave His life for all mankind in an atoning sacrifice, and we who follow Him have the opportunity to lose our lives in the service of others. To assist you in living lives of service, may I suggest three essential principles. First, help others to succeed. Second, learn and develop your own talents and value the talents of others. And third, obtain a spirit of serving and giving. In the coming days of transition, you will have many opportunities to practice these principles and establish a life even more meaningful and fulfilling than the one you created here at Brigham Young University. The first principle is help others succeed. Up to this point, you have used your intelligence to succeed as an individual. You have measured yourself against the standard set by the performance of your peers. Essentially, you've been competing with them, and your grades reflect how well you've fared in that contest. To help others succeed, you must achieve a different standard. In the world, you will discover that many people who seem to be average in their intelligence, and yet they are very, very successful. Why, you might ask? Because they know that it is impossible to succeed alone. The only way to truly succeed is to help others succeed as well. As you leave Brigham Young University, you will have opportunities to help others succeed. For some, this will come naturally. For others, it will require a great deal of effort. If you are in the latter group, may I make this suggestion? Maybe you won't have to try to be at the top of your class. Does that sound strange? We all want excellence, but I think it needs an explanation. Many capable students have a strong capacity to memorize what their professors have taught and repeat it back with amazing accuracy. This is impressive in the classroom and yields an admirable GTA and scores. However, the people who do this in the world are generally focused on themselves and their own success. They use what they know to look good and impress others. I've seen this with many MBA students who accept their first job thinking that what they know and say is more important than who they are and how they relate to others. They fail miserably in their jobs because it is obvious to nearly everyone that they are repeating what they've learned in order to be at the top of their class. Beginning today, there is no more class to compete with. No reward being the smartest, no high grade for being able to repeat all the facts. Starting now, you must use your education not to say something impressive, but to do something that will lift and strengthen others and help them to be successful. In other words, you must use your education not to distinguish yourself from others, but to devote yourself to lift them, to helping them grow and flourish, even if it seems at the expense of your own prominence and glory. This is the way our Savior said, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth along, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." End of quote. You may learn to lose yourselves in the service of others by applying the second principle. Learn to develop your own gifts and talents and value the talents of others. At school, it is natural and important to associate yourself with students who share your interests and oftentimes your abilities. These associations make it possible for us to learn from one another and benefit from each other's experiences. Beginning today, you have the marvelous opportunity to let your circle grow. After graduating from business school as a young man, I learned an essential lesson. A competitor company was taking away our loyal customers. I was assigned the responsibility of developing a new product to safeguard our market share. This responsibility humbled me, to say the least. In preparing for this assignment, the chairman of the board said to me in a private conversation, "Bob, I have confidence in your abilities you've learned thus far. Now I want you to expand your vision and understanding. I want to have you think as a leader and see the whole picture." What was the whole picture? I soon realized what the chairman meant. It not only included my gifts and talents, but also the gifts and talents of others in every discipline within the company. I had come from a marketing background and had fallen into the myopic mentality that my area of expertise was very important. While marketing is necessary, I began learning the importance of all the other elements of the process: research, development, testing, manufacturing, finance, and so forth. Which part of the process was most important? That is like asking which department at Brigham Young University is the most important. Is it math, music, microbiology, Mandarin Chinese? Is it music, the arts? The only right answer to that question is none is the most important because all are necessary. Or to say it scripturally, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again can the head to the foot, I have no need of thee. In developing our new product, we made a wheel diagram for all to see, showing the essentials but different role everyone was to play and how we would interact. Through that model, we all came to appreciate how essential everyone's gift really was. Needless to say, the learning experience changed my life. I understood more deeply the doctrine of the Lord. To everyone is given a gift, and all these gifts come from God for the benefit of the children of God. And then it also says, for the benefit with all. When we invite others to share their gifts, we prepare ourselves to apply the third principle, which is to obtain the spirit of service and giving. Consider, if you will, the spirit of service and giving demonstrated by the faculty and staff of this university. I have been overcome as I have sat and looked at them this day for their example of who they are and what they represent. This is a teaching institution, or in other words, a giving institution. Faculty and staff, members at Brigham Young University, devote their education experience and have been giving you a wonderful gift, an educational foundation for the rest of your life. In other words, their mission is to prepare you for your mission. Because they've obtained the spirit of service and giving, they have been able to focus their professional energy on you rather than themselves, because they have learned the sweet and simple sacrifice for the better and for the good. Because they have had your eternal welfare in mind, they have endorsed standards that support a spiritually centered education and have encouraged you to live those standards wholeheartedly. In your last few days on campus, may I counsel you to take a moment and express your appreciation to those who have helped you, taught you, touched your heart. As you move forward, let your model be one, as the one solitary leper who went back to thank the Savior for giving him a rich new life. Moving ahead, I have the opportunity to follow the example of the teachers as you do. Whether or not you become teachers in the formal sense, you each have the opportunity to continue learning, continue living the highest gospel standards, and continue by precept and example to teach what you have learned here. In this way, the cycle of giving continues, and the world truly becomes an extension of Brigham Young University, the very spirit of this campus. For what has happened here will continue to happen everywhere through you. Wherever you go, the cycle of giving will have its greatest influence in your homes. Here, the eternal part of your message and your mission will unfold. For here, those who teach and those who are taught are joined in the most important education of all, the education for eternity. I pay special tribute to all who will serve in the sacred school of the family, and especially to the many talented sisters who are receiving their degrees today. The world will try to convince you that the most important success is achieved in the workplace. I salute all who will focus their efforts on the family. I especially salute you, sisters, who will train up Heavenly Father's children in the way they should go. On this commencement day, may I remind you that your capacity to obtain and act upon this spirit of service and giving may depend upon your obedience to temporal commandments. The living prophets have counseled us time and again to put our lives in order, to pay a full tithing, a generous fast, to store food and other essential items for that rainy day, and to become self-sufficient by eliminating debt. Brothers and sisters, we live in a world being destroyed by debt. When we are in debt, we are not only lose our agency to act, we also lose our opportunities to give both temporal and spiritual service. If you have to go into debt to obtain your education, I encourage you to repay your debts as soon as possible. Then go forward with a commitment not to finance on credit or any item of any kind, except perhaps a house and a vehicle that are well within your means. For many, this may require what I call plastic surgery, which you may perform yourselves this very day. All it requires is a pair of scissors and those credit cards, which you cannot use responsibly by paying them off every month. If you need to perform such surgery, do it. Do it now. President Hinckley has been counseling the members of the church to overcome debt for many years. Let us reap the blessings that will come from obedience to his counsel. What are those blessings? In time, as you work hard and pay an honest tithe, you will be able to provide for your own needs and the needs of your family. Then you will have the provision of acting upon the spirit of service and giving. You'll also be able to act when your wife says to you, "I think we have enough for our family now. Let's give to others." There are endless ways you will be able to bless your community and support worthwhile public and private charities. You will be able to provide church humanitarian assistance or contribute to the Perpetual Education Fund. Most importantly, you'll be able to help support missionaries throughout the world, including your own children and hopefully yourselves. You will also be in position to give back to your university in a substantial way. All of us are aware that your tuition pays only a small part of the cost of your education. What you have enjoyed here at Brigham Young University is only possible because of others who have sacrificed and freely given of their means. Now it is your turn to follow the commandment of the prophet Jacob. Think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all and free with your substance, that they may be rich like unto you. But before you seek for riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God. And after you've obtained a hope in Christ, you shall obtain riches if ye seek them. And if ye will seek them for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked and feed the hungry, to liberate the captive and administer relief to the sick and the afflicted. End of quote. I thank our Heavenly Father that you entered Brigham Young University to learn and that you have diligently prepared yourself to go forth to serve. There are no shortcuts to that service. There's no fast track. But day by day, by following principles of service, the purpose of your BYU education will be fulfilled. I pray that as you go forth today, you will be determined to help others succeed, to earnestly learn and develop your own gifts and talents and value the talents of others, and obtain the spirit of service and giving as true Latter-day Saints who count their blessings and rejoice to see all that God has done, giving gratitude for all that has been given. This is the key to lives of meaning and fulfillment, said our beloved prophet, President Gordon B. Hinckley. Do you want to be happy? Forget yourselves and get lost in this great cause. Lend your efforts to helping people. Look to the Lord and live, and work to lift and serve his sons and daughters. You will come to know a happiness that you shall never know before if you will do it that. I do not care how old you are or how young you are. You can lift people and help them. Heaven knows there are so very, very, very many people in this world who need help. Let us stand a little taller and reach a little higher in the service of others. End of quote. I give my testimony that our Savior Jesus Christ has set the example of service in behalf of all God's family. Joseph Smith, the prophet of the Restoration, was his servant in bringing forth the Church of Jesus Christ in these latter days. Today we are led by a true servant of the Master, even his prophet, President Gordon B. Hinckley. How grateful we are that he has done what he has done as a prophet and an apostle, as those of old, and has gone forth throughout his life to serve in all the world. May we earnestly do likewise, is my humble prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.